This is from Undercurrents by Pamela Beeson, read by Veronica James. A shadow fell across her arm. She swiveled to look at the young man who had taken the stool at the table beside hers. She felt the blood drain out of her face as she recognized Black Tank Top from Darwin Station. Her own twin reflection stared back at her from his sunglasses. He raised his beer glass in a salute, his neatly trimmed mustache parting to reveal white teeth. A tiny designer label, PCB, was etched in gold on his sunglasses where the earpiece joined the right lens, just like the glasses worn by the hostile boat driver, Ricardo Diaz.
Wilderness Westin.
Black Tank Top stood up and walked close, looming over her, blocking her view of the harbor. A thrill of fear spilled down her backbone. Should she grab her pack and leave? But where would she go? He stuck out his right hand and said,
"Carlos Santos, I'm glad to meet you."
She exhaled with relief. He wasn't a killer stalking her. But she wasn't accustomed to meeting fans in person, and she certainly wasn't used to strangers identifying her on sight. Somewhat reluctantly, she said hello and placed her fingers in his. His grip was hard and dry. Calluses roughened his palm. That hand didn't spend all its time at a desk or at a computer keyboard. When he released her fingers, she resisted the urge to massage out the cramp he'd squeezed in. Using his index finger, he snagged the nose piece of his sunglasses and slid them down his nose. The irises of his eyes were such a dark brown that she had to look hard to distinguish his pupils. He smiled, and a few crinkles appeared at the corners of his eyes. Carlos Santos was a very handsome man.
"May I join you?"
He slid onto the stool across from her, plunking his beer onto the table.
"You are Wilderness Weston, aren't you?"
His accent was heavy, but his use of contractions and inflection proved he'd spoken English for a while. "I'm Weston," she confirmed.
"I'm sorry for the loss of your colleague, Dr. Kazaki," he said.
Her throat tightened. "Thank you." That always struck her as an odd way to respond, but she was well trained from her youth as a pastor's daughter. His gaze flitted around the cafe.
"Where's Zing?"
"Zing isn't here."
"You were together at the hotel."
"Hotel?" She stared at him in confusion. She'd only been in one hotel today, and she'd been the only visitor there at the time. "You mean Hotel Aurora?" He nodded. He had to be referring to when she and Dan had stayed there, but she hadn't even known what Zing looked like then. When she first heard the name of her alter ego, Sam had pictured Zing as an Asian anime type, not a brazen, red-haired dive diva. Abruptly, the scenario clicked into place in her head. Santos had seen the red-haired Scandinavian tourist return Sam's sunglasses. That woman had long red hair and was pretty. Maybe she had looked like Zing. Santos must have been the newspaper guy in the lobby. This was creepy. How long had he been tracking her? She shook her head. "You're mistaken. I haven't seen Zing since I arrived." Santos peered over his sunglasses, narrowing his eyes.
"Where is Zing now?"
Sam tried diversion. "I'm surprised that people here read out there." He pulled off his sunglasses, placed them on the table, and smiled again.
"We're not all hicks. There are many computers here in the Galapagos. It's one world now with the internet."
Great. Just what she needed. Another Galapagueño keeping track of her. "You speak English well," she told him.
"I worked in L.A. for 3 years. I have a brother there."
"Ah." "Snap out of it," she chided herself. "You're a reporter. Here's your chance to get the straight scoop from a local." She leaned forward. "So, you live here in Puerto Ayora?"
"Feel me. There is a ferry."
Her throat tightened. "Via me? Was he a fisherman who followed out there? Then he had no doubt seen her stories about illegal fishing. Correction, Zing's stories. Shit! She wasn't cut out for this undercover crap. Her expression would give her away any second now. She took another swallow of beer and decided that Wilderness should play dumb. I didn't know there was a ferry.
It runs every day.
He wiped down his mustache with a finger.
Where is Zing staying?
Thank God Out There made her write under that stupid pseudonym. I don't know where she is right now, she told him. Actually, I've never laid eyes on her. She suddenly felt like giggling and pressed her lips together to stop the urge. He put his elbows on the spool table.
Can you give Zing a message?
A message from Carlos Santos?
From the fishermen of Galapagos.
Her stomach did a flip-flop. You represent all the fishermen?
Yes.
He flashed her another handsome smile.
When will you see her?
She used her fingertip to draw a zigzag design down the side of her beer glass. I don't know. I can send her an email message, she offered. She looked up and returned his smile. But then, so can you. Just use the link on Out There. Maybe he'd already sent one of those threatening comments.
No email,
he said enigmatically. What did that mean? That he didn't have email? That he didn't want to leave a computer trail? She was afraid for Wilderness Weston to seem too curious. What's the message?
Tell her she's got it wrong.
As he turned his head, sunlight glinted from a large diamond stud in his left earlobe. Fishing must pay well here. I don't understand. Sam swirled the remaining beer in her glass. What does Zing have wrong?
Tell her there's nothing illegal about fishing in the reserve. Fishing boats are licensed. We are allowed to fish for our families. I eat shark, and so do many Galapagueños.
So, he was upset at Zing's post about shark finning. But the quantities are strictly limited, right? And according to Zing, there were so many remains, and most of them were missing only the fins. He picked up her spare napkin and began to shred it into confetti.
How would Americans like it if someone wanted to kill their jobs?
The word kill brought Dan to mind. Maybe it was her second beer, or the fact that Santos had produced no weapon, but she was feeling braver by the minute, not to mention angrier. If my job was destroying an ecosystem, it'd be right to end it. He stopped shredding for a minute to meet her eyes.
Americans do not have the right to control the rest of the world.
His voice was low and calm. He sounded eminently reasonable. Americans have nothing to do with it. The Galapagos were declared a World Heritage Site in 1978. This area has been protected for decades. He picked his sunglasses up from the table and slid them back onto his nose, obscuring his eyes.
The sea wasn't off limits until people like Zing started butting in.
His dark eyes had at least seemed human. The mirrored sunglasses seemed hostile. Zing is simply describing the current state of affairs, she said. I wish she was here, because I'm sure she would like to learn more about the local fishing issues.
Issues?
His tone was taunting. We've heard about problems here. Didn't fishermen take over Darwin Station? Threatened to kill scientists and tourists? Didn't they hack up some tortoises with machetes? Didn't they threaten the director of Galapagos National Park? He crossed his arms over his chest.
Who tells you this?
In his mirrored lenses, she watched herself shrug. Zing heard stories from some people around here. He stood up, raised his beer glass to his mouth, and drained it. Zing would like to know if fishermen here still sell sea cucumbers and lobsters and shark fins to Asian ships. Do you still threaten scientists?
We never killed anyone.
He wiped a finger over his mustache again. Until now? She knew she shouldn't have said it, but she was so damn tired of these games. Zing wasn't here to grill the man. Sam Weston needed answers. Santos slammed his empty beer glass on the table.
Maybe some people deserve to die, he hissed.